Okay, so the reading today is from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
Thank you, Josh. We are in a series looking at the book of Genesis. We're actually in week 3 of this series. I hope you're enjoying it. Now, we understand that the book of Genesis is a very controversial one. So what we've been asking you to do is if you have any questions during the sermon, either remember them, write them down for later, or get out your phone. I will understand if I see you on your phone, therefore, and text or email your question to this number and email address. And the idea is that we're going to hold a day, an afternoon on the 8th of February, where there'll be a panel and your questions will be posed to them. So I don't know, maybe have a question on creation evolution, or perhaps something you hear about today or next week. Well, why don't you try and get your question answered? We'll try and do that on the 8th of Feb. So what we're going to do today is, just on the bottom of the PowerPoint slide, the number and the email address will be up there, just for any questions that might spring up. Well, I have been asking people all week, whenever I've met them, I've been asking this question. What do you think it means to be made in the image of God? And I've got various answers, but to be honest, my favourite answer was from this lady. On the right, she's called Daisy Barclay, and she's one of our oldest members in the church. She's well over 90, nearing 100. And for any of you who know Daisy Barclay, you won't be surprised to find out that I went there to encourage her, but I left encouraged. That's the kind of lady she is. She's an incredible woman. So I asked her, "Daisy, what do you think it means to be made in the image of God?" And she paused for quite a long time. And she looked at me and said, "Well, I don't know, really. But it must be the most stupendous thing in the world." And I thought that was rather good. You see, in the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis writes about a stable, and this stable looks like any other stable on the outside, but on the inside, it is bigger than you could possibly imagine. And I think that's a situation with the verses Josh just read. There's 70 words on the page. In the original language, it's 32 words, but they are among the most profound words in the whole Bible. That man is made in the image, in the likeness of God. And how we understand these verses will shape how we view others, how we act towards others in almost every single area of our life. So what we're going to do is we're going to do two things. I want us to try and understand what it means to be made in the image of God. And then I want us to apply it to our life. We're going to understand and apply. But because this is such an important topic, and because this is God's word, we want to treat it well, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for the truth that it contains, the challenges and the encouragements. Help me as I speak to be speaking your words. Holy Spirit, would you be speaking through me into our hearts? Help us to listen and be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. So, understanding the image of God. If you've got your Bibles, look at verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." Two things, image and likeness. I'm going to take the second one first because it's simplest. likeness of God. Well, okay, this is a picture of my mum and dad. I like my mum and dad. They're pretty interesting. Anyway, apparently I look a lot like my mum. And I think that's a good thing. I have her face, apparently. I have her eyes, apparently. But I also have some features of my dad. I have his nose. I have his smile. But it's not just physical, is it? Actually, I have some of the characteristics of them. I'm increasingly understanding this. My attitude to work is like my mum's. People keep telling me my sense of humour is like my dad's. But I'm their son. It's unavoidable that I am like them. And that's what likeness means. That's what it means to be like someone. It's how a child is like their parents. It's the same word in Genesis 5. When Adam has a son and calls him Seth, it's a son in his likeness. So what it means to be made in the likeness of God is to be like God in a way the rest of creation isn't. It's amazing. Out of all creation, it's not my hamster George that God has decided will reflect what he is like. It is humans, us, people that reflect what God is like. Nothing else of all creation can say that, but we can. But how are we like God? Is it physical? Does he have two arms? Does he have two legs, nose, eyes, ears? I don't think so. The Bible says that God is spirit. I think what it means is we are like him in our characteristics. It's more to do with who God is, what God is like. And as we looked at the story of Genesis over the past 2 weeks, what do we know about who God is, about what he is like? Well, a few things. We firstly know that God creates. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. God is creative. And so are we. Aren't we? We paint, we draw, we make music, we make movies, we make films. We landscape gardens. We're creative. I'm not going to walk in on my hamster and find him at an easel painting a Picasso. Animals aren't creative. Some animals can paint, but only because they've been taught to. We're creative naturally. Why? Because God creates. God creates. Secondly, God is spirit. The spirit of God was hovering over the waters. That's what we read. And because God is spiritual, so are we. We have friendships here, but we don't just relate to each other. We relate to God. We pray to God. We experience relationship with him. As we sing, we experience his presence. Animals don't experience God, don't have relationship with God. They're not spiritual in the same way, are they? You're not going to walk downstairs in the middle of the night and find your dog on his knees wrestling with God in prayer. No, we are spiritual because God is spirit. Thirdly, God speaks. God said, let there be. How did God create the world? He spoke. God has always communicated. What do we call this? God's word. God is a speaking God, and no animal communicates as broadly and as deeply as we do. We do it because God does it. Fourthly, God is moral. We read, God saw that the light was good. God has the ability to distinguish between good and bad. Animals don't. I know. You call your doggy a good doggy or a bad boy, don't you? But your dog doesn't know what's good and bad. All he knows is this brings punishment, this brings reward. He can't distinguish between good and bad. But we know what is good. We know what is bad. We know that murder is evil, don't we? Not just because you might get punished for it, but because it is evil. We know that love is good. God is moral. We are moral. God is community. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Notice, this is not let me, make man in my image, but let us. God isn't one kind of being up there by himself, lonely. He's a community of love. Father, Son, Spirit. Loving one another in relationship, giving out to each other. And that love explodes out as he creates the world. Demonstrating his love to us. Demonstrating his love for us. That's what the creation story is about. God is community. And because God is community, it's the same with us. We read in verse 27, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say God created a man in his image, a woman in his image. He creates mankind in community in his image. And one way that's expressed is through marriage, man and woman united in love. But it is not the only way God's image in community is expressed. It's not just married people who get to express what it means to be the image of God. The New Testament says the best way we show loving community is the church, by being committed and part of your local church, like Knighton. That's why we have membership, a way of formally expressing our commitment to a church family. It's why we have home groups where we can demonstrate our love to one another in the church family. Now, I know that there are some people here, and the stage of life you're in means you can't really commit to a home group. But there are some here who you could be part of a home group and you choose not to be. Well, why not? Demonstrating our community, our God-likeness. Would you join a home group? Would you become a member? Sixthly and finally, God rules. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule. Now, I can't go into this a lot because Andy will beat me up because basically Andy's speaking on this next week. But it is integral to who we are as God's image bearers. And it leads us to the second word. You remember the first word was likeness? The second word is image. Oh, several times in the Bible, the word image refers to an idol. An idol. Every group, every tribe would have its idol in the middle of its community. And that idol would represent God to that community. It would be God's representative in that community. But God says, man is my image. Man is supposed to represent God. Above all things, God chose man to be his representatives in this world. That's why Adam and Eve are to rule, because they are to represent God, to be his ambassadors in this new world that God has created. What a privilege. What an honor it is to be made in the image of God. What dignity God has given us to elevate us above all creation. Honor it is. What a position we have as humans. It's glorious. But for some of you, it's hard to hear. And I think this is why, because you feel like you don't have value. You feel like you don't have worth. I don't know if it's because of what someone has said to you, or what someone has done to you in your past, and it's haunted you, and it's stuck with you. You're stupid. You're fat. You're ugly. You're worthless. You will never amount to anything. You will never, ever be as good as they are. And you don't feel like you're worth anything. But God says, you have value because you are made in my image. You have worth because you were made to represent who I am and what I am like. You have value. You have great worth to your Maker. Let us not forget that. I think that's what it means to understand the image of God. So what we need to do now, I think, is apply it right. What difference does knowing we are made in the image of God make to how we think, make to how we act, make to how we look at the world? Well, firstly, I think applying the image of God shapes how we view ourselves. If we are made in the image of God, it means we are not God. You are not God. The world says, do whatever you want, as long as it makes you happy. The Bible says your purpose is to reflect who God is. He calls the shots. He alone tells us what we can and cannot do. Culture doesn't tell us what we can do. Hollywood doesn't tell us what we can do. Jeremy Kyle does not tell us what we can do. Our sinful nature does not tell us what we can do. God alone tells you how to live. Are you listening? You are not God. Secondly, it shapes how we view others. If we understood the image of God, there would have been no Holocaust where 6 million Jews lost their lives. There would have been no transatlantic slave trade where countless Africans were sold as property. There wouldn't be 20 million people in this world slaves right now. There wouldn't have been any Paris shootings. There would be no ISIS. If we understood what it meant to be made in the image of God, there would be no discrimination based on age or race or gender or ability. That just simply would not exist. We would not look down on people because they don't look as good as us. They don't have as much money as us. They're not as talented as us. If we understood the image of God. Thirdly, it shapes how we view the unborn. At the point of conception, the human embryo has all the DNA it needs to be called human, to be part of the human race. Think about it. It's a human embryo. It is not a dog embryo. It is not a monkey. It is a human embryo. Someone God is forming. Someone God is has put as part of his people, made in his image. And unless it is stopped, it will grow and form a human baby. Every year, 50 million unborn babies across this world are aborted. 50 million. Now, some of those are hard cases. I will tell you that. Some of those are very hard cases. The mother has been sexually abused. The mother's life is in danger. But the vast majority of those cases, of those 50 million cases, are down simply to the personal preference of the mother or the fact the baby may be born with a disability. As if someone with a disability has less right to life than someone who doesn't. Fifty million babies being formed by God, made in his image, will be wiped out this year in 2015. It is evil. It is deplorable. And has no respect for the image of God. Fourthly, it shapes how we view the elderly. As I saw Daisy Barclay this week, I was just struck how important the older generation is. But what does culture teach us? It says older people are, well, they're blockages in our way. They're hurdles to be overcome. They're a burden, not a blessing. But the image of God teaches us to treat older people with dignity and respect. Fifthly, it shapes how we view sex. And I want to be direct here. If you are here and you're sleeping around, If you're using someone purely for sex, you are reducing that person to a body, as someone who is less than human. If you are here and you are sleeping with your boyfriend or girlfriend, even if you think you are loving them, you have no regard for their spiritual health. You're not regarding their soul. You think you're loving them, but you are treating them as less than human. If you are here and you are watching pornography, you are reducing that man or woman on the screen, someone made in the image of God, to a body that anyone can do with whatever they want. If we understood the image of God, we would not be aroused. We would be sick. Sixthly, it shapes how we view our church. It's so easy to make church gatherings, to make our church about us. We sit, we listen, we leave. We don't give, we don't serve, we just take. Now some, as I said, that is fine for a time. You're in a time of life where, to be honest, you just don't have time to give, either work situation or family situation or your health situation. All you can do perhaps is maybe pray, and maybe not even that for a very long time, and that is fine for a time. But just imagine with me a church where everyone who could serves. Everyone who could gets involved, where everyone, before they come to a church service, thinks, prays to God and says, God, what would you like me to say to someone today that would encourage them? What word would you have me give to someone to edify and upbuild and uplift them? What would our services be like then? Seventhly and finally, it shapes how we view our mouths. If we understood the image of God, we would use our mouths to build up, not tear down. We would get rid of all gossip. All gossip. And we would seek to encourage and challenge and rebuke and equip and teach each other. Is anyone challenged? Is anyone even rebuked? Can I be honest with you? Right now, I feel like a total hypocrite. Because I look back on my life and I think about the amount of times I've tried to be like God. I've tried to go my own way, not his way. I look back and I think of the times I've looked on others as less important than myself. Times I've viewed older people as hurdles, times I've played fast and loose with my sexuality, and times I've made church all about me, and at times I have just said stupid, stupid things that don't help anyone. I should be challenged by this. I'm supposed to reflect who God is. Like this mirror reflects who I am. That's what I'm supposed to be. As a follower of Christ. But yet so often, I feel like this. Broken. It kind of reflects who God is, but it's warped. It's distorted. It's broken. Do you ever feel like that? The fact is, as dignified as humans are, we are also broken. We've been distorted by sin and by selfishness. We don't just need to understand the image of God. We don't just need to apply the image of God. We need to trust in the true image of God. Colossians 1 says the Son is the image of the invisible God, because there was someone who walked this earth who perfectly demonstrated what it meant to bear the image of God, perfectly demonstrated what it meant to show what God was like. Jesus lived as the image of God in the way we never, never could. Perfectly, sinlessly, unbrokenly. But he was broken for us. Our brokenness, our failure to be God's image bearers, to treat others as valuable were put on him on the cross. Put on him on the cross. And he does away with it. And he gives us a new identity, a new start, a new mirror, a new opportunity to reflect who God is. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to help us be his image bearers. And when we mess up, as we all have, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. And we repent and we find a Father who absolutely forgives us in Christ. Praise God. God sees our mirror as clear because Christ's mirror is clear. Do we believe that? Do we believe that Christ's mirror was clear? That he is the true image of God? And that is what God has made us. As I close, I want to ask you a question. What do you need tonight to confess to God? I'm just very aware it's been quite heavy, but I think this image of God is really important for us to grasp. Where have we failed to represent God as we should? Where have we failed to treat others as valuable? Are you trying to control your life? Are you not submitting to God's leading? Are you viewing others as less important than yourself? Your opinions, your needs are more important than others. Are you disrespectful towards those who are older than you? And young people, this goes for parents. How do you treat your parents? Do you treat them as people made in the image of God? With disrespect. With respect. Sorry. Are you abusing sex? Do you have a selfish view of church? Are you realizing you could do more to serve? Are you a gossip? Are you always negative and critical? Where are you not treating people as if they were made in the image of God? Two more groups I want to address. The first is this. And we mentioned abortion earlier, and I don't want to leave it where I left it. I do believe it is an issue that breaks God's heart. And some of us need to repent of past actions and find a God who will forgive. Who will forgive. But there are others here who have repented of this and still feel guilty. And still feel guilty. But the gospel tells us you stand forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Your guilt is gone. You bear it no more. You are forgiven. Finally, there may be some here who don't call yourselves Christians. I want to say you need Christ because you are broken. Because that's what sin does. It breaks us. It breaks our relationship with God and it leads us to hell. But Christ lived the perfect life that you could never live and died the death we should have died. So that if we trust in him, we could be forgiven. And you need that tonight. I want us to take a couple of minutes to reflect. And then we're going to sing about the great cost Christ paid on the cross to set us free from sin and from brokenness. So just for a couple of minutes, do business with God. What do you need to come to him and repent of and find absolute forgiveness of? And then I'll pray and we'll sing. Father, I thank you for your grace. So undeserved. I'm sorry for the times that I do not treat people as though they are made in your image. I treat them as less than human. Father, so often I would try and deny that and harden my heart against it, but actually, if I'm being honest, it's true. And so I'm sorry for that. We're sorry for that, Lord. Thank you that you forgive us because of what Christ has done. Holy Spirit, help us to better reflect what it means to be God's representatives on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I just want to say that if there's anyone that's been particularly challenged by what we've talked about, there's some pretty heavy stuff, please feel free to come and speak to Andy or myself either now or afterwards. Lou's happy to pray with people as well. I'm sure the people you came with will be happy to pray with you. But now should we just press into God? We'll sing about his great love and forgiveness for us. Amen.